the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Hear us who might deceive us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The subject of depression is one that, well, when you're in the middle of it, I think, you're not inclined to talk about it. Depression has one feature, regardless of how it manifests itself, it does tend to isolate the one who suffers from it. They think perhaps at the time that they are completely unique, that their story is the only one, that they're the only one going through this, or the only one going through it the way they're going through it. Is that true? Is that part of depression's insidious nature to try and teach that lesson, when part of the healing from depression comes from learning that your story is not unusual? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 15th. We're going to be talking about depression with Pastor Todd Peppercorn, then getting an update on the November elections with Mark and Molly Hemingway. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is a regular guest. He's pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Five Things I've Learned from 10 Years of Depression and the booklet I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. Pastor Peppercorn, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure being here.
The first observation you make, reflecting upon 10 years of depression, is that your story is not unique, that your story is pretty common. But in the midst of this, when you were kind of at the depth of this thing that you write so eloquently about, did you think that your story was unique?
Well, I did. And that's a part of that is what's kind of underneath depression. Depression is you're self-isolating. Depression means you're curved in on yourself. It means that the outside world, for whatever reason, physiological or spiritual or situational, that the outside world has no place. And so depression is a very lonely, a lonely existence no matter what. But it isn't until later that you come to recognize that there are a lot of people that are suffering, that are alone, that are isolated the world over, and that it's actually not nearly as unique as we're often led to believe.
What is it? I mean, looking at it from kind of the, I was going to say the outside in, but I don't think that applies in your case, from the inside out, what is it? How would you describe it? Are we helped by describing depression primarily in emotional terms?
Well, the weird thing about depression is that we really use the term in a couple different ways. I can say I'm depressed, and what I really mean is I'm sad, or I don't like something that's happening, or even that there's a situation that I really don't like what the results of are, and so this has made me sad. So you've got that use of it, which is kind of a common or colloquial term. And then you've got a more clinical definition. I suffer from major depressive disorder. And that's a much more precise term. It's something that is diagnosed. It's something that can be treated and that can be measured and tracked. But if you're talking about mental illness of any kind, that's a part of the difficulty of it, is that it doesn't nicely, easily, simply fall into categories. I break my leg, I know what happened. But if I'm talking about a mental illness, there can be a dozen different causes, spiritual, physical, all of these things, And there may be half a dozen different ways and things that might be necessary for healing. And because it's that messy, because it's that hard to wrap your brain around, it's much easier to just kind of super simplify it and say that I'm sad. And that may not help.
And does labeling it, diagnosing it, explaining it, does it help at all for the person who's in the midst of going through it?
Well, that's a great question. I can remember quite vividly sitting with my counselor, and my counselor, using a kind of standard diagnostic tool for determining depression, and at the end of it, she kind of went through this whole thing with me, and kind of the end result says, you know, I would diagnose you with major clinical depression, and I can quite vividly remember saying, oh, thank God, I'm not crazy. I just have a mental illness. And as odd as, I mean, and it's funny, it really is, but there is a liberation that comes from recognizing this is what's going on, because that also means maybe there's a way out. It's very hard in the midst of any kind of sickness to not know what's wrong. But if I can figure out what's wrong, then I can come to recognize what needs to happen for healing. Frankly, that's kind of law gospelish if you think of it.
And speaking of a way out, there was at least one time in the course of your depression when you honestly believed with all your heart that there was no way out, wasn't there?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And I've written about this a couple different times. That at one particularly dark moment on a Good Friday, I had my insurance company had just taken me off of disability against my will and against my doctor's wishes, and I was utterly convinced that the best solution for me and for my family and for my church was that I kill myself. And so I went to go and do church and told my pastor, who was assisting. We had a joint service, who was assisting with the service. I told him that I was planning on killing myself after the service, but I had a sermon I had to do first for Good Friday, and that was when it kind of became clear to me, you know, looking at it later, that I felt completely and utterly alone and abandoned, but that I was not actually alone and abandoned, because he didn't leave my sight, and that there was a whole host of people that were surrounding me that I wasn't even aware of at the time that were covering me in prayer, that were looking out for my family when I wasn't capable of looking out for them, but all kinds of people that God was using to act out, to live in their own vocations, to bring about healing, and I didn't even know it at the time. And that's kind of what it means to be human, is to recognize how closely, how isolated we may feel in our sufferings and our difficulties, whether you're talking about physical or mental or spiritual, but also recognizing that I am not alone, that first of all, that Christ our Lord promises to be with me until the end of the age, that I'm baptized, that this is my identity, this is who I am. I'm not a disease. I'm not any other thing. I am a child of God, not something else, and that God will use all of these other people and things to bring about the healing that will take place. That's kind of a remarkable recognition. And I pray and hope that many others that are out there suffering, and I know that they are there, come to the point of being able to recognize that, even though the road is dark.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest. We're talking about depression on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 15th. When we come back, Luther's analogy for the depressed man driven to suicide. Stay tuned.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
If you're going to a Lutheran church, you should be hearing the name of Jesus more than the name of Martin Luther.
Pastor Trevor Sutton, author of the book Being Lutheran.
And I think that's really what Martin Luther would want. He made it quite clear that this faith is not to be based on him, but is to be based on Christ alone.
You can purchase Being Lutheran at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Being Lutheran, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
The congregation at Lake George Lutheran Chapel is a proud supporter of Issues Etc. We are located on the western shore of Lake George. With the lake in view, Jesus still teaches from the boat of his church, and the people sit, listen, and are fed by Christ himself through his holy ministry and instituted means of grace. Every Sunday, 9 a.m., set your course to 1540 West 800 North, Fremont, Indiana. Like us on Facebook at Lake George Lutheran and find out more at lakegeorgelutheran.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about depression. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Five Things I've Learned from 10 Years of Depression. He's also written the booklet I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. Speaking of before the break, we were talking about suicide, the possibility there of suicide. 16th century reformer Martin Luther, I think he likens it, kind of puts a theological lens on the whole subject. He likens a man depressed or driven to suicide to someone who is beset by robbers in the woods. What does he mean by that?
Yeah, this notion that in suicide you are essentially trapped, that you're trapped by Satan, by sin, by the power of the devil, and that you are overtaken by these things. And Satan, of course, his desire is always to drag you away from Christ and his mercy. And in my read of that from Luther, what Luther is trying to get at is that suicide is not, in some kind of nice, clean way, simply an act of will that may be done. It's not, I suppose it can be this, but most of the time it is not simply I'm gonna show God who's boss and I'm gonna kill myself, whether he wants me to or not, but is often an act of utter desperation and despair because of all of these other factors that are going on. And, I mean, that's what makes it so hard and so painful, especially for those that remain. But that's also why it is so important for us as the church to continually hold up for people that Christ and his mercy don't stop when you don't feel it. That's one of the great lies of our age, is this insane notion that God's looking at me with kindness and mercy is tied to how I feel at any given moment. Because if that's the case, then honestly, I'm toast, because my feelings come and go constantly, and that it may be my emotional state, it may be what kind of food I ate or what I drank for dinner. There are so many things that go into that. And yet we, in this weird way, think that shows me what God thinks of me. Why would I do that? But that's what you see. That's Joyce Meyer. That's so many that you are going to see in the world today, that even that will claim to be Christian.
You also say that the healing, one of the realizations you've taken away is that the healing from this never really stops. What do you mean?
Well, what I mean by that is that it's very tempting, especially if you're in the midst of mental illness, something like depression, to sort of pine for a perfect point in your life. If only everything can be like when I was 22 years old or something. And so I can be desperately trying to find the right cocktail of medications or counseling or exercise or food or whatever, you know, whatever the methods that you're trying to use in order to get back to some point in the past so that everything will be the same or even better. What I have found for myself is that I wouldn't want that, first of all. I am a different person today than I was 10 years ago. I would argue that I am a better pastor today than I was 10 years ago precisely because I have suffered, that has shaped me as a human being and as a pastor, and that I have a greater recognition of God's mercy in Christ today than I did 10 years ago. When you're in the midst of these things, and again, this is true for any suffering. This isn't just a mental illness issue. When you're in the midst of any kind of suffering, the desire to escape is present, and the desire to sort of go back to some other perfect point in time is very often there. In retrospect, though, kind of looking at it from a longer view, those things were events that God used to strengthen faith, to create a different recognition in me of how other people suffer, and that has allowed me to and served me in being a better pastor. Does that make sense, Todd?
Yes, it certainly does. You finally say that it is the Lord's Supper that gives life. How does that figure into this discussion of depression?
Well, that took a long time for me to wrap my brain around, because so much of depression has to do with this isolation, with this sense of utter worthlessness, that no one's listening, nobody cares, nobody is there, nobody is present for me, and even if they were, I wouldn't want them because I'm not worthy. And through all of this continues the gospel. And in this case, I'm going to very concretely talk about the Lord's Supper, that Sunday after Sunday, time after time, Christ says, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. That this word combined with the bread and wine that is Christ's body and blood, that is reality, that is the truth, that God gives himself to me, and that's my identity, my baptismal identity kind of coming full circle, and that it's not how I feel at this given moment or what medications I'm taking or, you know, what conversations I'm having with my counselors or my friends or anybody. None of those things, and they may be good and helpful in their own way, but none of those things actually say, who are you? And who I am is a child of God, even if I don't feel it. This is Psalm 73. This is a verse that I quoted at the very end of that article. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. If I'm looking inside myself for strength, at best, it's going to kind of waver and come and go, but most likely it will fail. But that's not actually where my strength comes from, that Christ is greater than my heart. This is why we pray, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That is what God does. That's who he is. And that's a pretty remarkable gift, and one that we need to continually receive, because we are so forgetful and so, I don't know, stubborn as human beings that we choose to ignore the gift that is right before us all the time.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Five Things I Learned from 10 Years of Depression, and the booklet I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. You can download this booklet and read Pastor Peppercorn's article under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Peppercorn, thank you very much.
It is my pleasure. Good to talk to you.
When we come back, we're going to get our weekly update on the November elections. Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and Molly Hemingway of the Federalist will be our guests.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Here's Eric listening in Chicago. Hi, Eric. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really encourage people to give to Issues Etc. as it's the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the world, I'd say, on the media.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported, and you can support the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the media by making a secure online donation at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Are you interested in Lutheran education? Join the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education at a unique conference, July 19 through 21, 2016, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Speakers include the Reverend Dr. Scott Ashman, Dr. Angus Manouge, Dr. Jean Edward Veith, the Reverend Dr. Thomas Korchak. Visit ccle.org for more information. That's ccle.org.